Welcome back to another installment of our podcast, Big City Catholics, with Bishop Robert Brennan and myself, Father Chris Henu. Today, we're going to be talking about the theme of mercy. Today is the solemnity of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and the topic of mercy is just an incredible one today in our readings and in our church. But first, we'll start with a prayer. This is the Sacred Heart prayer. It's from the Sacred Heart enthronement. Welcome His Heart, and so we can pray this together. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. O most holy Heart of Jesus, fountain of every blessing, I adore you, I love you, and with a lively sorrow for my sins, I offer you this poor heart of mine. Make me humble, patient, pure, and wholly obedient to your will. Grant, good Jesus, that I may live in you and for you. Protect me in the midst of danger. Comfort me in my afflictions. Give me health of body, assistance in my temporal needs, your blessings on all that I do, and the grace of a holy death. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Bishop, how's been your week? You've had a fun yet busy few days.
Well, we were together down in Coney Island for the Cyclones game for Catholic Schools Night. That was my first visit to the Cyclones, and it was an awful lot of fun.
It was great. Yeah, that was. You're from the Bronx, though, right? Kind of. So, are you a Yankee?
Born in the Bronx.
Are you more of a Yankee fan?
I was born in the Bronx, but I was born in 1962, the year the Mets were formed.
Okay.
And my dad was a stalwart Brooklyn Dodger fan.
Amen. So that's the connection.
My destiny was certain. I and my family, we grew up as Met fans all the way. Moved out when I was six, so I basically grew up on the island where you had the mix of Mets and Yankees.
Amen, yeah.
Although, many more Yankee fans during the victorious years. and yet, we who are Met fans, we stay stalwart and loyal.
Because the Brooklyn Cyclones who play there in Coney Island are the minor league sort of team of the Mets.
That's right. So, when I was in Columbus, the minor league team, they were the Clippers. They're now the minor league team for the Cleveland team, but earlier had been the minor league team for the Yankees. So people like Derek Jeter got their start in Columbus.
Oh, wow. See?
Yeah.
I might get my start. Did you? So we had the.
Well, that was the highlight. The Cyclones were great, and they won surprisingly in the ninth inning, but the crown of the evening was the pregame. We had the Collars versus the Scholars. Now I understand that's a bit of a tradition. Explain that to me.
Yeah. This has happened a few years in the past for a few different occasions when we've kind of released this Catholic Schools Night. The name of the stadium, where the Cyclones play, has changed names constantly. It was the Keystone Park, or
now it's Maimonides.
Now it's Maimonides Stadium. But they opened their field for us and for the Diocese of Brooklyn, where we first were able to, which is an honor for you, I'm sure, to give accolades to all of the valedictorians of our Catholic schools.
That's right. That was wonderful. We had a number of young people who were there, the valedictorian and salutatorian of a great number of our Catholic academies and schools.
Yeah.
We're really, really proud of those kids, and we're proud of the schools. I mean, these are two individuals who represent the excellence of the student body and of the education they're getting in our Catholic schools. And so it was a privilege to be able to honor each of them, just to call them up out onto the field to receive a ribbon and a medal, and then to pose for a picture. It was a chance for me to greet each of them.
That's right.
That was a real treat.
It was awesome to see. And so those kids then came out. They were present for this pre-game where the priests of the diocese, myself, Father Chris Bethge, Father Jason Espinal, Father Osorio, Father Ralph Adel, Father Ed Kachurka, Father Jose Diaz.
Well, you can't forget Bishop Sanchez.
Bishop Sanchez.
Bishop Sanchez had two really nice hits.
It was incredible. He got on base, and then I got to run for him.
And then you pinch ran for him. And not for anything, but you made an amazing catch. Now, in all honesty, you looked a little surprised.
I couldn't believe I caught him. So one of the principals, Mr. John O'Brien, I know him well. He's a great athlete. I mean, he is a true athlete. He got up to the bat, up at bat, and just knocked a line drive directly at me. I had been praying. First of all, I asked to be sent out to the outfield because I figured this is a safer zone. It's not a real necessary place. I can just catch a ball and throw it. And I kept saying, Lord, please, wherever they hit the ball, just not near me. I'm not athletic. I'm not a baseball, softball player. The line drive, like magnetically, just directed at me.
Right.
And
right into your glove.
Right into the glove.
Right into the glove.
I was so shocked that I've caught it. And everyone's yelling, you know, I hear people cheering, "Wow, that was great." And I thought, "Wow, that was great." But then I start hearing the screams, "Throw the ball." Throw the ball.
Yes, because somebody did tag up.
I did. They did. I let in a run or two, I think. I was
much to the chagrin of Father Kachurka, my classmate, who pitched a great game. He had 6 strikeouts. But now, Father Chris, in humility and truth, tell us the outcome of the game.
The Collars lost 6-9.
And the Scholars won. Scholars the Teachers won.
The Teachers won. Yeah, it was. It was a lot of fun, though. It was a great, great joy to be out there. I missed also Father Caroli, Father Kim, and Father Sukiel. So it was a great, lineup of younger guys, and just of all the, just for us to get together. You know, I think you probably take consolation in the fact that your priests might be hopefully better celebrants than baseball players, you know, mass celebrants.
I know what they're not doing on Sunday mornings.
That's for sure. Then we also got together again. The priests got together on
well, the
Wednesday.
Pastors.
The pastors.
Right. Yeah. So we had a meeting of the pastors. This is something that's been a tradition here in Brooklyn and Queens for a number of years. So quarterly, the pastors meet with the bishop and the different diocesan offices. It's a chance for communication, mm-hmm. And more importantly, it's a chance to be together. We suffered like everybody did during the time of COVID. Those meetings became remote, so that accomplished the getting the information out, and certainly kept us somewhat connected. Yeah. But wow, what a difference it is, like with so many other things, really to be together again and
it's
to check
so nice.
In on one another.
Yeah.
And to enjoy one another's company. So we had a good meeting. Again, last meeting of the so-called academic or pastoral year, so it was chock full of information, probably information overload, but some very important discussions too, sadly, about the reality of security issues, things that we have to be attentive to in this day and age.
The meeting itself is not necessarily confidential. No. I do think myself being in at the meeting with you and with all of the pastors of our diocese, that the topic that seemed to be one of the most important was the topic of the safety of our parishioners, especially at public service. And
that's a place where the love of our priests for their people is so evident, because that just came out. People, people are concerned, and they want, the priests are concerned, they want safety because they love you. They love all of their parishioners. And so we were seeking out some good advice. We realized that we need to continue this conversation. But it was a great chance to delve into some of those serious issues. The other thing that happened yesterday, which touched me but greatly, we prayed for our sick priests. We're praying for priests who are convalescing right now. But wasn't it wonderful to see Father Peter
Rader. I was just going to say, yeah, yeah.
He was in the hospital from late summer through the fall and through the winter.
Truly.
He's been convalescing. I mean, he still has a long way to go, but he's back in the parish.
That's great.
And he made the point of being at that meeting.
That's right.
What a lift for all of us to be able to see him in person.
That's right. No, what an honor, really, to be to, and we all applauded for him as we saw him. It was a great witness. You know, here sometimes really it's a reminder of, you know, you putting things into perspective. You know, I'm thinking to myself, driving out to Douglaston and driving back and realizing the traffic from Douglaston back to Brooklyn is
going
to
be... Don't get me started on traffic.
It's going to be awful. And then you see Father Peter Rader there, who made a point to be there. And you say to yourself, okay, I can suffer through an hour of traffic. It's just a real humbling experience. And
it is great
to see him.
And then at the end of the day, I had the chance to celebrate with the Jubilarians, people celebrating 25, 50, 60, even 65 years.
Awesome.
Of ordination. And again, what inspiration as we look out at our brother priest and the service that they're giving. And how appropriate that we gather this feast, today's feast of the Sacred Heart, is also a day of prayer for the sanctification of our priest.
Yeah.
And so I ask all of you who are listening, even if you're tuning in a couple of days after, let's take the opportunity to pray for our priest, to pray for the holiness of our priest, and for the work that they're doing to bring us all closer to Jesus Christ.
So, Bishop, as we kind of move through this day, this Sacred Heart, the Feast of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, you know, for me, my memory of the earliest memory of it is visiting my grandmother in Ireland. Every house in Ireland had an image of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and with the little red light that just was always on 24 hours a day. And remember coming in at night and the house total darkness and seeing that little red light shining.
I learned a great custom, a great devotion when I was in Columbus from the people of Columbus. They had the movement called the Sacred Heart Enthronement, and many, many, many families took part in this devotion. And it involves the image of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, hanging it in, and actually the two images, the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. So displaying those images in a prominent place in the house. And what I mean by prominent, I don't mean, you know, the living room where the furniture is covered in plastic and nobody ever goes in and it's a place of honor. I mean the place where the family gathers all the time. So it may be the living room, maybe the dining room, it may be the TV room, who knows?
Sure.
But people would display these images of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and they would begin with a period of preparation and then the enthronement of the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Jesus. It's a way of dedicating our family, our household, to the Sacred Heart of Jesus and keeping our eyes fixed on Jesus, making Jesus and his Sacred Heart the very center of our family life, you know? We had a priest used to say, especially with these portraits, Jesus doesn't want to be a picture on the wall. He wants to be an integral part of our families. And so this devotion and this practice of placing these images in a place where the family gathers, it would be a way that we invite Jesus into our family dynamic, where we're having our conversations, where we're sharing our concerns, where we have to sometimes work things out amongst each other as in a family. And I heard such marvelous stories, and hopefully in a future podcast we'll be able to get some of those witnesses of families whose lives together were turned around because they placed Christ at the center of their home and their family life.
When you were in Ohio and Columbus, was this a diocesan enthronement, or was it sort of on a local level?
It was actually as local as you get. It was a home
every home.
It was to invite people to do this in their homes. Okay. So now parishes would encourage it at given times, and we would pass, and they would have the materials for people to do this. We had a Catholic radio station in the area that promoted the enthronement. And what we did do on a diocesan level was every year there was a Sacred Heart Congress, and it was usually in the fall, not around the feast day. Sure. And a good number of people would gather for that Sacred Heart Congress. It would be a day of prayer. We would have Mass together, certain speakers, certain witness testimonies, the opportunity for confessions. So it's something that I hope that we can begin to spread here. I'm sure that there's a great devotion already in Queens and in Brooklyn, and if we can build upon that, the people involved gave me the kit, you might say. So yes, they gave me some nice images that they actually gave me a very nice one that it was framed, and the prayers and the preparation. And so Father Patrick Keating and I, we live in the same residence, in the bishop's residence, we place those in the little nook. You know, there's the dining room for when we have people over, but there's the little nook where we have most of our meals. So we place those images. And this weekend, we're going to do the enthronement together. So that's asking God's blessing on this household.
That's great. That's great. And for those who are listening in, it's a ministry called Welcome His Heart, right? Welcomehisheart.com. And so,
exactly. So that's easy to remember. If you remember Welcome His Heart, then you've got the website. So
right.
It's Welcome His Heart, just spread, no spaces, just the continuous, welcomehisheart.com. And you'll find all kinds of information and testimonials, and even a way that that you can receive that materials. And again, who knows, as we begin to build this up, we might even be able to tag on and have a Brooklyn Queens dimension of that website.
Sure. The theme of mercy, is such an important aspect of our faith. I mean, the gospel today is the gospel of the lost sheep, and which one among you would not leave the 99 and go out to find the one lost sheep? And in our life as shepherds, yours in a greater sense, how is it that you find living a life of mercy, how is that a part of your ministry? And I can share it even in my own life. I mean, as parish priest, perhaps you may not get this opportunity as much anymore as a bishop. But the highlight of my ministry, I'm supposed to say, is the celebration of the Mass. And that is pretty high up there. But really, for me, it's in confession.
No, they go together.
Yeah,
they go together. And you're exactly right that for us as priests, that experience of God's mercy in confession is so moving. I miss that opportunity, that regular scheduled opportunity. You know, when I was in Rockville Center, often I would be on the road on the weekends, but we always had the Monday night novena and confession, and I had that chance on a regular basis.
Sure.
I miss that regular basis. I have the occasional basis.
Yeah.
But it's a point of contact with people. You're walking with them on the journey, and you become more aware, so that when you are celebrating the Eucharist and when you are praying for God's holy people, you're praying not from some theoretical outside point, but you're praying from walking within the flock and carrying those burdens, bringing those burdens to the altar. People are carrying so many burdens and struggling, in some ways, in material ways, just trying to keep things together.
Yeah.
Sometimes with isolation or loneliness or with trying to work things out with relationships. And so the idea of being part of that is, it's a privileged place. And yet, we're only there as an instrument.
Mm.
It's not about you or me. We're there because it's a conversation with God. And so we're there to speak the words of God's great mercy.
It's so humbling.
It's a humbling, humbling thing. Yeah. We just happen to be in the middle.
Yeah.
But it's really God, you know, it's really God who's speaking. It's not a counseling session. I don't, you know, as much as you try to offer some encouragement or words of mercy, the real effect is that God is doing the work here. And it's the encounter with the true and merciful living God, the Sacred Heart of Jesus.
That's right. Yeah. We could talk a lot, and hope we will have more opportunities to talk about just the beauty of confession. I know where in this packet it mentions how to keep the flame burning. Now that you've consecrated your family, you know, how do we continue to experience these graces? And one of the points is regularly go to confession.
Yeah.
I think this is a great tool for our priests to maybe share with their parishes, and for those who may be listening to just kind of check it out, welcomehisheart.com, especially today as we're, you know, on this celebration of the Sacred Heart of Jesus. It's a great, we're not paid spokespersons.
No, we're not. And actually the people doing this are all volunteers. Boy, yeah. They pour their heart and soul in this.
Yeah.
You know, you've referenced today's readings, and the Feast of the Sacred Heart follows the same as the Sunday cycle, so it's a three-year cycle. And so each year, it's sort of a different viewpoint, a different way of looking in on the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And so today we have that beautiful image of Christ the Good Shepherd.
Mm.
And I love the way it comes out in today's gospel. Jesus looks at the crowd. It's part of that great chapter of mercy, Luke 15. And he says, which one of you, looking at the shepherds, which one of you wouldn't leave the 99 in the field and go seeking out after the lost one? And I think the answer they would have said was, none of us. What do you mean, 99 sure things to go after the one that's lost? You know,
yep.
and then we pick it up rejoicing. Yeah, like I don't know about you, but if I were a shepherd and that sheep were out there, I'd be get back in. You know, but using that kind of maybe even comedy.
Yeah,
Jesus is making a point about the extent, the radical nature of God's mercy.
Yeah,
that it's not just the flock. The flock does matter, but it's each one of us within the flock. You matter incredibly to God. And if you're lost or you're suffering, Christ, the Good Shepherd, is seeking you out and trying to bring you along. He's doing that for me.
Yeah.
That's a very different image from what would have been the biblical view of God at that time. It would have been more, you know, the people and the nation and all of that. But Jesus is saying, you, the lost sheep, matters incredibly.
That's right.
To God.
That's right. Yeah. And when we think about this, I once heard a beautiful reflection on it. And I mean, when was the last time you spent any time with a sheep in a field? I mean, here in Brooklyn and Queens, we have the Queens Farm, maybe in Flushing Meadows.
You know, in October, I guess, after my appointment was announced, but I was still in Columbus, I'd be driving to some of the parishes and seeing the rolling hills and the sheep out in the fields. And I said, oh, I'm leaving all of this behind.
You have to visit it in a museum now. But I once heard the statement that when a sheep is lost on its own and a sheep is frightened, it will just remain standing still and shaking in its own. It won't. It's lost. It's absolutely, obviously lost, but it's absolutely
like a paralyzed
like, oh, yeah. In fear and that isolation that comes from it. And I think that's another aspect of these readings too, that when it makes us think a little bit about those who are isolated, those who are alone, those who are lost from from our own our congregations, those who feel alone, those who feel lost. You know, you hear often people who are surrounded by people, they're in the midst of great crowds and they're always amongst people, but they feel lonely. We may feel as connected as ever with these cell phones, and but still feel lonely, still feel disconnected. And so it's a great topic, too, to think
about.
It
is. You know, again, forgive me for going back to Columbus, but, Ohio State is a huge university, 70,000 students. And one of the missionary groups, St. Paul's Outreach, they did a study and they raised the question, what are the biggest issues facing college students? And then they presented it as sort of a word graph so that greater the response, the larger the font, right?
The
and then all those words were all over. Well, right there in the center in big, bold letters was the word loneliness.
Wow.
And by the way, this was pre-pandemic.
Wow.
And Jesus offers us the hand of friendship, but maybe that's something he extends to us as a mission as well. And so, you know, Jesus, in his compassion, wants to reach out to you if you feel isolated. But, you know, there's a call of sense of solidarity. One of the things during the time of the pandemic, I mentioned pre-pandemic, now in the pandemic, a lot of us had a sense of that feeling of isolation for a couple of weeks. You know, could that give us a sense of greater solidarity who live with that all the time?
That's right.
And you're right. Sometimes it's because we're very much alone. Sometimes we're surrounded by people, 70,000 students, but feel it. But the message today, you know, there are layers of messages, but the message today is you are not alone. That there is one who will never abandon you, who will go and seek you out. St. Paul tells the Romans in today's second reading, the love of God has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. Indeed, Jesus Christ knows you and loves you more than you could ever imagine. And to me, that's the real heart-stopping kind of hold you in your footsteps, the reality of this day, that profound love of Jesus. Not, you know, we talk about the love of God and the love of Jesus in very theoretical ways, but that real and close by personal love that Jesus Christ and his Sacred Heart has for you.
It's a beautiful, it's just beautiful to sit with and to reflect on, because you think about just young and old. It's not just the homebound whom feel isolated, those who are maybe in nursing homes who aren't visited often by family members or friends, but it's also the teenager. It's also the college student. It's also the married couple that may share a bed at night but may still feel alone.
Yeah.
To find that point of
with a professional out in the field, you know, some people try and make ends meet working hours and hours and hours or to get ahead.
I think, you know, and it doesn't just like none of this, the priests are not exempt from feelings of loneliness either, you know, and here we are at times as ministers of God's mercy, and yet sometimes we need to be reminded in the, you know, we did talk a little bit earlier just about that pastor's meeting, but what apart from having to sit through the meeting part of it, which is fine, it's a necessary.
That's okay, true confessions.
What I appreciated was the lunch and the holy hour,
right?
Because it's an opportunity for us to have that moment of fraternity with other people, other guys who are living the same, living what we're living, and experiencing what we're experiencing. And
that's right. And, you know, in an amazing way, a lot of our guys are alone in their parishes, sometimes covering multiple parishes. The blessing here in Queens and in Brooklyn is that the next parish isn't necessarily miles and miles away, that we are close to each other. But what it does mean is we need to make the intention and then follow up on connecting with one another.
Yeah, yeah. Just being intentional disciples, being intentional in all aspects of our ministry, and that's what the beauty of, I think, also the beauty of these podcasts.
Exactly.
Is to kind of go deeper into the topic of.
And isn't it true, aren't we sustained to, certainly by the love of God poured into our hearts, but we're sustained by the people whom we serve. Time after time we see great heroic examples of witness, but we also experience, you know, love and support. And that's one thing, as I go around from parish to parish, it's just so edifying to see the love that people have for their priests in their parishes. People express it in a whole host of ways, but people really do love their priest, and I think we can be incredibly grateful for that.
Oh, thanks be to God. Truly.
And so today we ask you, please pray for your priest. Pray for those who are sick, for those who may be struggling. Pray for those who are carrying burdens, whether it be physical or the stress of things. But pray that we may be holy, that we may be drawn. It's a day. It's not just a day for priests, but for the sanctification of priests. Pray that we may be drawn ever closer to the heart of Jesus Christ. And here in today's readings, this cycle, this year's readings, really speak to us, that call of the shepherd, so that we may ourselves draw close to the love of Christ, the Good Shepherd, and then be inspired to serve with his heart.
Amen. Well, Bishop, you know, as you make this enthronement to the Sacred Heart, our prayers are with you also. You know, I think often when I'm sitting and chatting with you, last time we're talking about, my remark to you was how awesome it is to be the shepherd of this diocese, that are able to set the tone on the Eucharistic revival and help to direct that. And even my thought today in sitting with you is to say how awesome it is that you know that each and every day, every priest of this diocese is praying for you by name.
Yes.
In the Eucharistic prayer.
That is a great grace.
You know, and that's the, I think that's the support, in addition to the other prayers that you receive from others and from us aside from the Mass, just to know that you're guaranteed every priest in every parish in this diocese is praying for you by name. And so our prayers with you for this enthronement to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. So perhaps if you'd like to lead us in a closing prayer and offer your blessing.
We thank you, Lord Jesus, for walking among us and for revealing to us the depths of your love for us through your Sacred Heart. We ask your blessing upon all who join us this day and in the days to come, that we may be secure in your love and witnesses of that love. And we ask God's blessing. May Almighty God bless you, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop. We look forward to joining you all again in our next installment of Big City Catholics, this podcast with Bishop Brennan and myself, Father Chris Henyu. Thank you for joining us.